Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
We are wrapping up a series today called F-Bomb, and this is a series we started at Easter. We're going to wrap this series up, and then next week, we're going to start a new series on relationships called Some Assembly Required. And everybody knows that relationships are not as easy as they sound, right? There is definitely some assembly required, some work that has to be done. And so hope that you guys will invite somebody to that series next week that starts. But today we're going to wrap up this series called F-Bomb. And we've been talking about different aspects of failure, right? We've talked about what to do when you have failed, which all of us have. We know this to be true in life, but the Bible also talks about it as well. Paul says everybody has sinned. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. And then we talked about what to do, you know, when after you fail, you don't live in fear all the time of screwing up again, but how do you go through life confident in who you are, knowing that God has you, knowing that God has forgiven you. And then last week we talked about what to do when somebody fails you, because you don't want to fail the failure in your response. And so this week we're going to put a nice little bow on it, and what we're going to talk about today and what we're going to answer is, how do you make sure that you don't fail again? Once you've failed, how do you ensure that next time won't be like the last time? How can you ensure that next time won't be the last time? Because, or like the last time. Because you, what you don't want to do is when you've been forgiven, right? When you've gone through this and you have confessed and you have repented and you've asked for forgiveness, the worst thing that could happen and the last thing you want to do is to get back into that cycle and have to go back again and ask for forgiveness again. And have to go back and say, hey, sorry, I done it again, right? I'm sorry, but, you know, I did it again. I went back to that habit. I took advantage of that, because that really does. It takes advantage of the person who loves you. It takes advantage of the person who showed you forgiveness, who showed you mercy, who showed you grace. And so the last thing you want to do is take advantage of that love and go do it again. And especially when it comes in terms of our relationship with God. I mean, His gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, that gift of love that even allowed us to be forgiven and allowed us to show others mercy and grace, we don't want to take advantage of that gift, right? A lot of us think we've, you know, sometimes found a loophole. Well, if God always forgives, then I can just go back and I can do it again, ask for forgiveness, do it again, ask for forgiveness. No, that's taking advantage of a loved one's gift. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get in that cycle. So how do we ensure that next time won't be like the last time? Well, there's a question around here that we ask all of the time. It's a question I've preached on many, many times. It's a question that I kind of insert almost into every sermon that I can, because it's a life-saving question. And I didn't come up with it. A pastor by the name of Andy Stanley did, but it's a lifesaver. It literally will guide you through any problem, any question that you might have. It will give clarity to the messiest situations that you might find yourself in. And the question is this: what's the wise thing to do? Let's all say it together. Ready? What's the wise thing to do? Not what's the right thing to do, not what's the wrong thing to do. Because sometimes there are things that are not wrong, but that does not make them wise. And sometimes the things that seem right aren't actually all that right. And sometimes the things that may seem wrong, there might be some gray area in between there where we can convince ourselves that it might be okay. So we shouldn't ask ourselves the question, what's the right thing to do or what's the wrong thing to do? We need to stop and ask ourselves the question, what's the wise thing to do? And this question actually comes out of something that Paul said. Paul wrote this awesome letter to the church at Ephesus, one of the churches that he had his handprints on. And so he writes this letter, and just kind of to catch you up, because right in the first verse he says the word then. And so he's kind of saying, so since this has happened, it's kind of like walking late into class and you hear the teacher say, so then, because of what I just said. And you're like, wait, what did he just say? At the beginning of the chapter in Ephesians 5, Paul starts talking about this great gift that God has given us. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, we've been given this great gift of forgiveness. And He says, you don't have to keep living on your own, in the midst of this sin and this muck and this failure, you are now a child of God. And he says in the second verse there, he says, so live with the light of God inside of you. He says, be the light. You are a child of God. You have been adopted, which is what we talked about the very first week, through Jesus Christ and this gift of him dying on the cross for our sins, but also coming out of the grave and being resurrected. It meant that our lives could be resurrected. We could be reborn. We could be given a second chance. So Paul kind of talks about everything we've talked about, and we actually went off of one of Paul's letters in Romans whenever we talked about that. So this is just, you know, this is Paul's message to the world. You are now children of God. You are forgiven. So because of all of that, and because your failures have been cleaned up and forgiven, and you're on the right track, and you're the light of the world, here's what you need to do. And this is what he says in Ephesians 5, verse 15. He says this, so be very careful then how you live. Be very careful because of all of that, because of that gift from God, and because you've been forgiven, and now you're on the right track, and you're the light of the world from here on out to ensure that next time won't be like the last time. Be very careful how you live. And that word careful, it means to be watchful. It means to look around and discern, to examine and to think about. Yeah, we bought a new car. It's like our family car is what Kate said. That's why she convinced me to do it. She said, we need a family car, all right? Our little cars, this car, it needs more work to be done than it's worth, so we need a family car. So we got our first SUV. And this car, it gives me anxiety. It gives me a lot of anxiety because I don't know if any of you guys have these cars. It has all these monitors around it. You know, it monitors like everything that I do all the time. And so it's got this lane assist thing. And what it is whenever I'm kind of going, not that I would do this very often, but not in my lane, it will vibrate the steering wheel and it will send me a message on the dashboard. Stay in your lane, okay? You're not in your lane. Or if somebody's coming up on me, they're in my blind spot, it beeps at me. There's all these little whistles and beeps that go off all the time. It even monitors a thing. It monitors a thing if I get too close to somebody. If it thinks I'm riding somebody's rear end, they're like, hey, back up, pump the brakes. And if I don't do it, it will do it for me. It's like driving the Terminator. I don't feel like I'm in control anymore. And then I found out this week, again, not that I do it that often, but I may or may not have been driving with my hands not on the steering wheel, okay? Because sometimes I'm a lap driver, okay? I like to drink my coffee, you know, and just drive with my lap. And it told me, put both your hands back on the steering wheel. And it shut my music off. I was listening to a podcast. It shut my podcast off, and it beeped at me, and a message popped up. Hey, dummy, put your hands back on the steering wheel. And so this car is beeping at me all the time. And my three-year-old, my toddler, Olivia, you may have seen her on Facebook. She left a brilliant message to all of you this morning. She said, Daddy, why does the car keep beeping at you? And I said, well, because it doesn't think I'm driving very well. And I'm going to call the dealership and tell them to turn it off because I know there's a way to turn it off. And my three-year-old daughter, she goes, or Daddy, maybe you should listen to the car and be more careful. Okay, you're grounded. Don't tell your mother about this, all right? But what if, right? What if, how great would it be if we did, if we had like a monitoring system, right? That every time we were about to go into uncharted territory or do something dangerous or get out of our lane, something beeped at us and said, hey, you need to watch where you're going. You're going the wrong way. You're about to collide with something. This isn't good. I'm trying to help you avoid danger. Or if there was a time where something could just beep at us in life and say, hey, look, you need to get a handle on this. You need to get your hands on the steering wheel. You need to pay attention. Let's turn off all the distractions. You need to get a handle on this situation. Wouldn't that be great in life? Right? Well, we don't have anything like that. But I think that this question could be just that. This question, what's the wise thing to do, could be that tool, could be that question that could help us be more careful in life. And he goes on, he says, so be careful then how you live. And then the next thing he says is this, not as unwise, but as wise. That word unwise means foolish or careless. And that word wise, the Greek word there, sophos, it means forming the best plans and using the best means of execution. Wise, sophos, forming the best plans. So here's the thing. You know, when we think about wisdom, we think about being smart, right? But wisdom isn't about smarts. It's not about knowledge. So when people do something unwise and we say, you're stupid, it's not really accurate because they're not stupid, all right? Being wise isn't about knowledge at all. It's not about being smart. Wisdom is all about a plan. And being unwise is really the opposite of that, and it means not having a plan. So I want you to think about it like this. This statement's going to be up here on the screen about wisdom. Go ahead and put that next one up there. When you are unwise, you carelessly don't plan. When you are wise, you carefully do plan. Now look, that took me an hour after staring at a lava lamp to come up with that. So if nobody tweets that out today and tags me in it, TM it, by the way, I'm copywriting that. When you are unwise, you carelessly don't plan. But when you are wise, you carefully do plan. So Paul says, because of this great gift God has given us, because of this forgiveness and this new life that we have, we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. We need to monitor where we're going and what we're doing. We need to have a handle on life. And here's what we ought to do. We need to not carelessly plan, not plan. We need to carefully plan. We need to be wise, and we need to have a plan. You know, when people talk to me about finance stuff, when people come to me and say, Pastor, we're struggling with our finances. It's a thing in our family. It's a thing in our relationship. I need to talk to somebody. I'd like to talk to you about my financial troubles. The first question I ask them is, well, come and talk to me and bring me your budget. Show me your budget. Where's your budget? And usually the people who are having the money problems, the second thing out of their mouth is, we don't have a budget. Okay, well, there's the problem, okay? You chose the unwise decision. You are carelessly not planning for your finances. You carelessly don't plan, and because you carelessly don't plan, you are having situations where you're coming up into financial troubles. But if you would have a budget, if you would carefully plan what to do, you would be wise with your money. You would figure out what it is you need to do differently with your money. Same thing with relationships. People come in and they talk to me, Pastor, we're having marriage troubles. We're having an issue in our relationship. And usually the first question I ask them is just my go-to because it helps me kind of weed out a lot of different stuff, is I ask them, well, when was your last date night? When was your last date night and when's your next date night? And usually the people who are having relationship problems, they tell me, well, I don't know what you're talking about. What's a date night? You know, I don't know. The last date night, I think that was like 6 months ago. My next one, the next time I get in trouble, Pastor. That's my next time I'm going to schedule a date night. Okay, so that's a problem, okay? And so I tell them, okay, well, before we talk, before we meet, here's the thing. Go out, have a date, have sex, talk about things other than the things you have to, and then come back. And usually it clears it all up. That's pastor's prescription. Date and sex gets marriages back on track, right? So if any of you guys want to come talk to me this week, right? I bet you I might have a whole lot of people sign up after church, right? Up in membership class. Honey, I think we ought to go talk to somebody now. I mean, wasn't a fan of that counselor, but I want to go see pastor, right? Because here's the thing. If you don't schedule date night, we talked about this at marriage retreat. It's for real. If you don't schedule sex and intimacy and time to talk about the things besides the have-tos, if you don't schedule that, you are choosing to carelessly not plan. Intimacy, communication, love, time together in your relationship. But if you're scheduling these things, if you're making time for them, if you're planning them, well, that is careful, intimate planning. That's being wise in your marriage and in your relationships. We've got to choose not to be unwise, carelessly not planning, and instead choose to be wise, carefully planning. And then he goes on. He says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That word opportunity means a fixed and limited amount of time, or time that has value because you can't get it back. So he says, you need to be careful. You've been given this great gift, being reborn. You're no longer a failure. You need to be careful how you live. I think you should choose to carefully plan out your choices, where you go, how you spend your money. Carefully plan and execute with the best means your relationships and your goals. And here's why this is so important. Because you only have so many opportunities. And you've got to make the most of them. Here's what I think everybody in their 50s and 60s or above would want to say this morning to the people who are in their 30s or 40s or in that gap range is, hey, carefully plan your time with your family. Carefully plan what you say to your kids. Carefully plan what you do and where you invest your money. Carefully plan where you go and how much time you spend at work and how much time you spend here, and carefully plan what you do with your life. Because if I could go back to my greatest failure and some of my regrets, I would go back to my 30s and 40s. I would go back to when my little girl or my little boy was 3 or 4 or 6 or a baby, when I could just have that time to hold them. And I would go back and I would do things a little bit differently. And there are some areas of my life where I would go back and I would be a more careful planner. I would be more wise with my kids and my families and my career, because there are things I look back on and I go, you know where that went wrong? You know what happened is I carelessly did not plan. And so take advantage of those moments, because that little kid is only little for so long. And they're only that cute for so long. They get a mouth on them. You got to watch out, right? So carefully plan. And you know what? Here's the thing. You are planting seeds in their life, and your marriage, this season only lasts so long. This opportunity in your career, you got to carefully plan what you do during that time. That is what probably many of you are shaking your heads. You are older and you are wiser now, because you have lived and you have known. Those opportunities have passed you by, and there were some opportunities where you carelessly did not plan. Now, there are people in my generation, 30 to 40, all of you who are teenagers or in your 20s or in that college age or just getting started, there are many of us who would look at you and we'd say, look, carefully plan what you do with your time. Carefully plan who you choose to be friends with. Carefully, yeah, I almost heard an amen. We'll get there, all right? Carefully plan who you choose to be friends with. Carefully plan what you do with your money, because there are expenses and there are things on their way, all right? Carefully plan what you do with that piece of plastic and that credit card, because the last thing you want to do is get in debt. Carefully plan what you do with your education, because that time to go to college and experience that life, it is only there for a short amount of time. So carefully plan what you do with your education, and realize that there are limited opportunities, that there are only so many tests and so many grades, and they do add up to something, and each one is an opportunity. So carefully plan what you do with your education and your life and the friends that you choose, because many of us who are in our 30s and 40s, who have kids and families and mortgages now and credit card debt, we look back and we go, oh my goodness, if I could go back in time to my greatest failure, my greatest regret, if I could have just stopped and asked what's the wise thing to do in this situation, and if I could have more carefully planned, I could have saved myself a whole lot of money. I could have saved myself a whole lot of regret. I could have gone to college. I could have stayed in college. I could have done better with my grades. If I wouldn't have gotten mixed up with those friends and those people, I would have stayed in the right track, in the right lane. I would have had a handle on the wheel, and I wouldn't have had to go through so many bumps later on in my late 20s. And even though God can redeem every situation, there are so many of us who have been where you are going in each of our generations who would look at you and say, look, I'm telling you because I've been there. There are limited opportunities. So I'm telling you, I carelessly did not plan. But I think it would save you so much regret, so many bumps in the road, so much pain, so many emotions, if you would be wise, if you would have carefully planned, right? All of us can look back and we can say that. And then Paul says it's so important too, because he says, because the days are evil. Now that makes us think like the devil and stuff. But it's not really the devil. Actually, this is a different Greek word here. This Greek word is ponos. And this word ponos actually just means harassment. So he's not even talking about Satan. You know, Satan's a whole different thing. Somebody who comes after us and tempts us and, you know, is trying to devour us. He's not even talking about that. He's just talking about life. He's saying the days are evil. He's saying what it is look, here's the thing. You got to look at life, all right? Life is not all rainbows. Here's the thing, all throughout life, it's like there's traps all around you. And there are things just waiting to trip you up. And so you've got to be careful how you've lived. You've got to choose to be wise, and you've got to carefully plan every step. Because if you are careless and you're just going about things and you're just doing whatever's in or whatever, so you know, whatever gets your eye or whatever distracts you or whatever friend tells you what to do, here's the thing. There are things all around you, traps set, that are created and meant to be bumps in the road for you. There are marketing teams who are meeting all over the place, just thinking of ways to convince you to give them your money, all right? Who are just convincing you to think, I'm hungry, I need to eat a Snickers. They're exactly right, you know what I mean? Now is the time. There are friends, there are people who are just waiting to take advantage of you, who are selfish people and who don't really care about you, who just want to take advantage of you, and they don't care about your future. They're only about the here and now, and they're only about what they can get out of you. There are harassments all around you that you've got to be so careful to avoid. So be careful how you live and be careful what you choose to do, because there are limited opportunities. And then the last thing he says, so therefore, it kind of just wraps it all up. He puts a real pretty bow on it. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be foolish, which the definition of foolish in this in the Greek is to not have a plan. Don't be foolish. Don't not have a plan. But instead, here's the best thing you can do. If you want to be careful, if you want to carefully plan, and if you want to be wise and you understand all this, then here's the best way to carefully plan. Understand what God wants for you. We talked about this last week. God doesn't want from you. God wants for you. God wants to see you succeed. God wants what you ultimately really want. And so here's the thing. If you don't want to get in the cycle of continually having to say, I'm sorry, and messing up, and going back down this trail of feeling guilty and feeling bad and hiding things from people, and continually going through the cycle, then here's what you've got to do. You've got to repent. You've got to be forgiven. God gives you that free gift of being reborn. He says it's all counted. It's done. Every debt has been paid. But from that point on, to ensure that next time won't be like the last time, you've got to choose to carefully plan what you do, because the opportunities are limited and short, and they go by fast. And the best way to figure out what that plan is to understand what God wants for you. So, this question, what's the wise thing to do? Let's all say it together one more time. What's the wise thing to do? Is the question that we need to start asking ourselves, because it gives clarity to the messiest situations. It makes so many things clear. But just because you ask the question doesn't mean you can answer the question, right? So how do we answer that question? Well, to answer the question, we actually have to ask the question in three different ways, kind of three different dimensions, if you will, okay? So real quick, I'm going to run through these and to give you a little bit better idea of how to answer this question. The first dimension of the question is this: in light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing to do? Have you ever felt like life was a big deja vu? You're like, man, every job, it's just the same thing. Everybody hates me. Like week two, everybody hates me. I wonder what that is, you know? Every relationship just always ends. Every relationship, it always goes in the same place, and I feel guilty, and I feel bad, and then I go down this thing. Every time I talk to my mom, every Christmas, it's always the same thing. Here we go. And it's just this endless cycle. And you keep wondering, what is it? Well, here's the thing. Maybe it's you. Maybe there is something that you keep doing, and you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you keep expecting a different result. What do they call that? Insanity, right? You keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, and you keep going, I don't know what everybody's problem is. Nobody can work with me. I just don't know what everybody's deal is. I just wish there were more people like me. I don't know why every relationship, I just can't find a good man, or I just can't find a good girl. I don't know what their problem is. Here's the thing, maybe it's not them, maybe it's you. And maybe it's this pattern and this cycle that you're stuck in. And so what you need to do in order to carefully plan, because in the past you may have carelessly not planned, you need to stop and ask yourself, in light of my past experiences, what's the wise thing to do? In light of what's happened, in light of what I've seen, in light of where I've been, in light of where it went last time, I've got to make some changes. So many times we talk ourselves into stuff and we go, well, maybe this time will be different. You know what I mean? The last time I went over to their house, this is what happened. The last time I called them, this is how it went down. The last time I called them out on this, this is what happened. But maybe this time it'll be different. No, it won't. No. History repeats itself if it's in the same pattern and the conditions are the same. No. We've got to stop and ask ourselves. Paul would say, you got to stop and you got to go, you know what, if this happened last time, I've got to carefully plan this out and I've got to do things differently. Because in light of my past experiences, I want to ensure that the next time won't be like the last time. So in light of what happened before and in light of where I've been, I need to carefully plan to do something different. The second dimension of this question is this. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? This one is so important, especially people who are in kind of transition periods in life in different seasons, right? Some of you who are just talking about who you may, you know, be coming up to graduate or to graduate high school, going into college. Some of you who are just newly married or you're even engaged right now, or people who are just going through a different season of life. In light of my current circumstances, what's the wise thing to do, okay? Because here's the thing, right? This is why this question gives so much clarity. Is it wrong to buy a car? No, right? I just bought a car. It's not wrong to buy a car. Not wrong. If you said, is it wrong to buy a car? No, absolutely not. Okay, then I should buy a car. No, stop it, right? In light of my current circumstances, you just had a kid. You just had a baby. And those monsters eat cash like grass, right? You just had a baby. You just had a baby, all right? In light of your current circumstances, hold on to every dime you have, all right? In light of your current circumstances, don't do that. In light of your current circumstances, is it wrong to buy a gift or to go on a vacation, you know, or to have fun or to go to Cancun or somewhere else where somebody in our church is that I'm jealous of? No, absolutely not. It's not wrong. But here's the thing. You have like $20,000 in student loan debt, all right? It's not wrong to go on vacation. Not a bad idea. And it doesn't mean that you can't do it later. But in light of your current circumstances, where you are $20,000 in debt and you need to pay that sucker off, now is not the time to go on vacation. Now is the time to stop buying soda, right? Now is the time to just quit everything, lock it down, and get that taken care of, right? In light of my current circumstances, will it be okay in the future? Yeah, maybe. All right, we'll go through the rest of the questions and we'll figure it out. But in light of where you are right now, you just got married, right? You just got out of a relationship. Is it time to get on Tinder and to find somebody else? No, right? You just got out of a relationship, okay? You just got done dating somebody else. Your heart was just broken, okay? Stop it. No, it's not the time. In light of your current circumstances, it's not time. I don't even know what Tinder is. So if I just said something bad, I'm sorry. I'm not on it. Wes, are you? Never mind. In light of your current circumstances, now's not the time. See, it just gives so much clarity. It just helps you out so much. And then the last thing, and probably the most important dimension of this, is in light of who God wants me to be. In light of who God wants me to be, what's the wise thing to do? See, that's the ultimate, right? Paul said, here's the thing, if you want to be careful, if you really want to be careful, here's the best thing you can do. Understand what God's will is for you. Understand what God wants for your life, for your marriage, for your kids, for your finances, because he wants to bless you and he wants to take care of you. So the best thing you can do is stop and ask the question, in light of my past experiences, in light of what I know about myself and what's happened to me, in light of my current circumstances and where I am right now, it may be okay in the future, but right now is not a good time. But in light of who God wants me to be in the future, where he wants to take me, the next place he wants me to go, what he wants to do in my life, what's the wise thing to do? Now, this question's a little bit trickier than the others because the two are based off circumstances, things you've seen, your experiences, but this one's a little tricky. And I really want to challenge you this week to think about it if you're not already thinking about it. Let me ask you a question. where does God want to take you in the future? Where do you see, what do you see God doing with you a year from now? 2 years from now? It's like that, you know, bad question you get asked in the middle of an interview. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? But seriously, think about it. What do you see God wanting to do in your life in the next 5 years? What do you see God wanting to do in your life in the future? Many of us, we don't think about that. Now, we think about that in terms of other relationships. You know what I mean? If we stick around with somebody long enough, I mean, we could say, well, I could see her dating and getting to know each other and possibly getting engaged and maybe getting married and maybe having 12 kids, you know, whatever it may be. We can do that in that relationship. Well, we've got to think about that relationship same way with Jesus and our relationship with our Father in heaven. What do we see God doing with us in the future? Because here's the thing, God is always wanting to create something new in you, to make you into a leader, to make you into a bigger light in the dark place, to make you an influencer and a generous giver and a supporter and a partner in his work in the community and through the church. God is wanting to do that through you. But have you ever stopped and thought about it? About what God wants to make you into, the husband he wants to make you into, the wife he wants to make you into, the dad, the mom, the grandmother, the grandfather? Who he wants to make you into, the child he wants to make you into for your parents. What does God want to do with you? In light of who he wants you to be and what he wants to do in your life, what's the wise thing to do? Where is it that you think that God might want to have you end up? It's such an important question. I think Paul, if he could just kind of wrap this up and help us understand it this morning, he would tell us, you know, here's the thing. Life is so important, and what we do with this life, there are limited opportunities, and the days are evil, and there's so many traps around us, and we've been given this great gift. So how to ensure that next time won't be like the last time? We have to stop, and we have to be more careful. We have to evaluate our decisions and what we do in order to save ourselves a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of heartache, a lot of guilt, a lot of pain, a lot of fighting, a lot of legal battles, a lot of things that, you know, we could turn around and hopefully God can redeem. But there's just some things that have repercussions, things we have to take responsibility for that we won't be able to change if we go down this path. So to save ourselves from that and to give ourselves the best future possible and set ourselves up for success, not just us, but our spouses and our families and the investments that our parents have put into us, what's the wise thing to do? Where do I need to more carefully plan out my decisions? And what would happen if I stopped and I asked the question, in light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, and in light of who God wants me to be, what's the wise thing to do? I think if we stopped and we asked ourselves that question, it would stop us from a lot of future failures. It would keep us on track. It would bless our lives. It would bless our families. And it would keep us from getting in the cycle of repeating another failure. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and we're going to sing one last song together. And this morning, as we just continue to worship, I want to let you know the altars are open. Maybe this morning what you need to do is you just need to come and pray and talk to God and say, God, you know what? Will you show me an area of my life where I may not be carefully planning, where I may just be, you know, running amok, not thinking of the opportunities that I'm letting go or the things I'm letting pass by. There are areas of my life where, I'm not looking out for the traps and the harassments that are there to, you know, catch me and trip me up and just give me a bump in the road. I need to stop. And I need to monitor myself. I need to be careful so I don't take advantage of this opportunity. And what I need to do is I need to more carefully plan. So God, will you show me this morning the areas where I need to be more wise? Will you help me to stop and to ask the question, what's the wise thing to do? Let's stand this morning and let's sing. I'm going to come back after we sing and pray with us this morning. But as we worship, the altars are open, and this is your time just to talk to God, pray with God. One of the great things I want to let you know this morning is that God has got you today. This morning, God has got you. He loves you, and he cares so much about you. And so this morning, as we worship, let's just Let's just open our hearts and our minds to God and let Him just fill us, create something new in us, and transform the way we think today.